الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. All praises are due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue with the tafsir of Sheikh Al-Sa'di, Nasir Al-Sa'di rahimahullah, Tafsir Al-Karim Al-Rahman fi tafsir Kalam Al-Mannan. And we are attempting, as I continuously repeat to those who may listen to this in the future, we are attempting to translate this into English to the best of my ability, which is very يعني مشي حالك ability. Furthermore, you know, the Arabic is a little complicated, so just ignore any grammatical mistakes that you may hear in now or in the future. Verse 30 in Surah Al-Baqarah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. Someone kindly read verses 30, 31, 32, 33 and 34 in English.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And remember, when your Lord said to the angels, verily I am going to place mankind generations after generation on earth. They said, will you place therein those who will make mischief therein and shed blood? While we glorify you with praises and thanks and sanctify you. He Allah said, I know that which you do not know. And He told Adam all the names of everything. Then He showed them to the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you are truthful. They angels said, glorified are you. We have no knowledge except what you have told us. Verily it is you, the all-knower, the all-wise. He said, O Adam, and informed them of their names, and when he had informed them of their names, he said, did I not tell you that I know the great unseen and the heavens and the earth, and I know that you reveal in what you have been conceiving. And remember, when he said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam, and they prostrated except Iblis, Satan. He refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers, disobedience to Allah.
Jazakallahu khair. Just I would usually correct a person on private, but because this is being recorded and maybe listened to in the future, it is not necessary to seek refuge in Allah or say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before you read in English. Okay, because you're not really reading the Quran. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's not necessary. That's one. Two, let's say you're reading in Arabic. You never say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim unless you are beginning a chapter. So let's say you've been reading the Quran and you are halfway through Surah Al-Kahf.
Yeah.
Okay, and you want to begin recitation. You made it to the masjid, you prayed tahiyyat al-masjid. You sat down, you wanted to continue Surah Al-Kahf.
Yes.
You started it at home.
Yes.
You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And you continue reading.
That's enough.
No, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim came in the beginning of a chapter as a link between the chapters. The end of a chapter, the beginning of a chapter. So only when you are reading from the beginning, you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yatasa'alun. An al-Naba al-Azim and what have you. If you're reading from the beginning, no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So if you continuously, while reading in the house and then you continuously reading in the mosque, when you are in the mosque, you just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
And you begin reciting. Because the basmala, na'am. Because the command that came in the Quran was, if you read the Quran, seek refuge in Allah. There was no command to say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But it was there at the beginning of the chapters. Even Surah At-Tawbah doesn't have it.
Yeah.
So you don't say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and bara'un min Allah, and you begin the surah. You must not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because it's not there. You see what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is... Bid'ah.
But every time I hear from the
Quran,
reading the Quran,
Bid'ah. There's a fatwa number 3333, if I remember correctly, by the Permanent Committee of Ifta, اللجنة الدائمة للإفتاء, the Hayat Kibar al-Ulama, the biggest scholars, okay, issued a fatwa about the impermissibility of saying صدق الله العظيم when you finish recitation of the Quran. And anyone who says that you should say it, you tell him, قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين. Give me your dalil. Give me your proof if you are truthful. Find me one hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, when he finished recitation, said, Tabakallah al-Azim. Find me one. One verse from the Quran commanding it. One hadith mentioning it. Ya akhi, get a sahabi. Who said that? No such thing. But it became accustomed among the people, and the people as imma. They just, whatever the people do, they do. They hear everybody say, Tabakallah al-Azim. So, okay, I finished, I say, Tabakallah al-Azim. Even if the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, I mean, this is just a fine line. If this is Sunnah, case closed. It's not from the Sunnah. So why would you say something that Allah did not command you to say after you finish? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It comes in the Quran, قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ, say Allah has said the truth, alaykum salam. As in terms of confirming that whatever Allah has revealed is the truth, but not at the at the end of every recitation. Allah did not say that. Neither did the Prophet ﷺ do that. So this is just people doing their own thing. I know this is everywhere. Even Ida'at al-Quran Kareem. May Allah guide them. I love this Ida'at, but this is the only thing that I cannot stand. They continue to do this. Even if the Qari didn't say it, they say it on his behalf. And they say the same thing with the Prophet. Whenever they mention some of the narrations, they get Sabaq al-Rasul al-Kareem. The messengers, the honorable, noble messenger has said the truth. Yes, sir. Leave it alone. So anyways, you either follow the people or the Prophet ﷺ. I think you know who you're supposed to follow. So that was just a comment pertaining to recitation and what you should say and what you shouldn't say before what you should say. Huh? Yes. There's a fatwa. Yani what I'm saying is, this is the fatwa of the scholars that they bring on Ida'at al-Quran Kareem. The same ones that they give questions and answers, they are the same ones who give a fatwa that it's a bid'ah. It's an innovation to say Salatullah al-Azim. Because they said there's no such athar, no such evidence. But many people do it because they...
Is it the Sahaba of the Prophet of that time, they are also saying like...
No, one is saying this. This was innovated maybe in Egypt, Allahu A'lam, in later times. And many of the famous Qurra, the famous reciters of the Quran, they were doing it. And people used to listen to them, so they thought it was a sunnah. So then everybody started doing it. It became so normal that if you don't do it, people tell you, why didn't you say Sadaqallah al-Azim?
Yeah.
But in reality, the whole deen is about dalil. Give me hadith that says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول Sadaqallah al-Azim إذا فرغ من القراءه. You want a hadith that says the Prophet ﷺ used to say Sadaqallah al-Azim whenever he completed recitation. When you find this sahih, authentic hadith, alhamdulillah, say it as much as you want. If this thing doesn't exist, you can add something to the deen. even that small. طيب
طيب
هذا شروع في ذكر فضل آدم عليه السلام أبي البشر. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, pertaining to these verses from the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, this is the initiation of the mention of Adam, peace be upon him, the father of humans. أن الله حين أراد خلقه أخبر الملائكة بذلك. That when Allah wanted to create him, He informed the angels about that. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَخْلِفُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عَلَيْهِمِ السَّلَامِ أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا بِالْمَعَاصِي وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. And Allah told them that He will make them inhabit the earth and take rulership of the earth, in a sense, if it could be translated this way. So the angels said, peace be upon them, they said, are you going to put in it that which will shed blood, that which will cause corruption, spread corruption by committing sins, ويسفك الدماء will shed blood, وهذا تخصيص بعد تعميم. And this is mentioning a specific after a general, because the general thing the angels mentioned, spread corruption. Shedding blood is kind of corruption. So they mention something general first, then they specify. Because as the Shaykh will mention, this is the most common thing, that the people kill each other, as you see today. People just die in large numbers. World War I, World War II, billions of people died. So the angels knew that Allah had given them some knowledge, they were able to somewhat, we don't want to say they knew the unseen, no one knows the unseen but Allah. But we will see why they said the thing they said. The Shaykh will explain it. لبيان شدة مفسدة القتل. And the reason why they mentioned specifically shedding blood, because of the great corruption or harm in the shed of blood. وهذا بحسب ظنهم أن الخليفة المجهول في الأرض سيحدث منهم ذلك. And this is because they assumed, they guessed that which will Allah will cause to inhabit the earth will be doing that. فنزه الباري عن ذلك. So they wanted to glorify Allah above that this will happen. وعظموه, and they magnified him. وأخبروا أنهم قائمون بعبادته على وجه الحال على وجه خال من المفسدة. And they informed Allah that we are worshiping you in such a fashion that does not contain any evil. The angels, as Allah described them in another surah, يَا شَبَابَ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah pertaining to what He commands them, and they ever do what they are commanded. Unlike the humans. Now Allah commanded us to do some things, sometimes we don't do them. And Allah commanded us not to do some things, and we do them. The angels, they don't do that. Whatever Allah commands, they carry out. Whatever Allah prohibits, they refrain from. So the angels are telling Allah, this creation may wind up causing corruption and may wind up spilling blood. On the other hand, we worship you in an ultimate sense. We don't remember your name and we don't do any corruption. فقالوا ونحن نسبح بحمدك, and we glorify your praise. أي ننزهك التنزيه اللائق بحمدك وجلالك, meaning we glorify you in a way that we can do it later. We will glorify you in a way that is befitting to your praise and your majesty. ونقدس لك. As for the word نقدس لك, how did they translate it in English? Verse 30. How did they translate it in English? After we glorify your praise and
sanctify.
Sanctify. Okay, jazakumullah khair. The Shaykh said there's a number of meanings, possible meanings for this particular term, sanctify. يَحْتَمِلُ أَنَّ مَعْنَاهَا وَنُقَدِّسُكَ Meaning, we sanctify you, فَتَكُونُ لَا مُفِدَ لِلْتَخْصِيصِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ So the lamb, now he's dealing in the linguistic aspect. نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ It didn't say نُقَدِّسُكَ Okay, which would be okay in the language. Except it said نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ We sanctify to you. Or for you. So he's saying this could mean a number of things. Either that the lamb here in lek, meaning that of a sincerity and exclusiveness, meaning we do this only to you, O Allah, not to anyone else. وَيُحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يَقُولُ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ أَنْفُسَنَا And the meaning could be that we sanctify ourselves for you. We sanctify ourselves for you, أي نُطَهِرَهَا بِالْأَخْلَاقِ الْجَمِيلَ Meaning we purify it with the beautiful character. كَمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ Like loving Allah, وَخَشْيَتِهِ And fearing Him, وَتَعْظِيمِهِ And glorifying Him, وَنُطَهِرَهَا مِنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ الرَّذِيلَةِ And we purify ourselves from evil character. Now of course in the English one you have, this is not a book of tafsir. What they do is they get the most probable tafsir from among the tafsir and they give you the English interpretation of it. That's why you're not seeing what I'm seeing. To you they already said and we sanctify you. They concluded that this is the way. Of course ulama, the scholars of tafsir, they may have more than one perspective. Then they have more than one possible tafsir. So that's why I'm mentioning you something that is not in your book. So both are possible. Either that they are sanctifying Allah Jalla wa Ala himself, or they are sanctifying themselves for Allah. The Arabic wording could accommodate both. Yani the Arabic wording in the verse could afford both meaning. It could be that and it could be that. In the English, of course, it's so limited that you don't have all these possibilities. Now, thank you for clicking the pen continuously. Again. وقال الله تعالى للملائكة إني أعلم من هذا وعليكم السلام إني أعلم من هذا الخليفة ما لا تعلمون Allah Azza wa Jal told the angels, Verily I know about this inhabitant of the earth, that which you do not know. لِأَنَّ كَلَامَكُمْ بِحَسَبِ مَا ظَلَمْتُمْ Because your speech, Allah telling the angels, your speech is only based on your assumption. Right or wrong? Do the angels know the unseen? No. They were assuming that this creation is going to do that. But they don't have any certainty. So Allah Azza wa Jalla told them that, you know, you said this based on your assumption, وَأَنَا عَالِمٌ بِالظَّوَاهِرِ وَالسَّرَائِرِ And I know the obvious and the hidden. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is the knower. وَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ الْحَاصِلِ بِخَلْقِ هَذَا الْخَلِيقَ أَضْعَافُ وَأَضْعَافُ مَا فِي ضِمْنِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّرِ And Allah knows that the benefit that will result alaykum salam the benefit guys so Allah Azza wa Jal knows that the benefit that will result from the creation of this creating this creation is far more it contains far more goodness than the evil. Yani the virtue or the benefit that will result from us existing. Because you have to remember now we're talking about our origin. You know how serious this is? Me and you are sitting here and we are a result of this. We are a result of what happened way back when Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to create Adam and he told the angels and the thing went, the conversation went between Allah Azza wa Jalla and the angels and Allah did create the son of Adam and now we are here as a result of that. So Allah Azza wa Jalla knew that the goodness that will come out from creating Adam and his progeny is far more good than the evil. Because there is, of course, by people entering the fire and being punished and what have you, but then there's a lot of goodness. People believing in Allah and magnifying Him and glorifying Him and entering His paradise and looking at Him Azza wa Jal. The Shaykh will give us some details. فَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي ذَلِكَ إِلَّا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَرَادَ أَنْ يَجْتَبِي مِنْهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. So if the only benefit, if the only goodness that would result or that resulted from the creation, from creating Adam, except that Allah Azza wa Jal will choose from among them the prophets and the truthful ones and the martyrs and the righteous, if it wasn't any except that, وَلِتَظْهَرَ آيَاتِهِ لِخَلْقِ, and for the signs of Allah, the verses of Allah, here it comes the signs, to become clear to His creation, وَيَحْصُرُ مِنَ الْعُبُودِيَاتِ, and a various act of worship will be performed, الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ تَحْصُل بِدُونِ خَلْقِ هَذَا الْخَلِيقَ, that would have never been done unless this creation was created. In a nutshell, the goodness that resulted from creating Adam, one, the fact that Allah chose from his progeny, from his descendants, prophets whom Allah had given high status, and truthful ones, Siddiqeen, like Abu Bakr Siddiq, or anyone who is truthful, like Maryam As-Siddiqa, radiallahu anha, alayhi salatu salam. The Shuhada, the martyrs, was-Saliheen, the righteous people. And the fact that because of this creation, the people, the creation was able to recognize the greatness of Allah through His signs. And all these acts of worship occurred from the time of Adam until today. How many people have worshipped Allah over the years? Ancestors and grandfathers of some of us who were Muslims. Maybe your grandfather was a Muslim and you don't know. You know, then the Crusaders came to the Philippines and made you a Christian, but maybe your actual family members originally were Muslims. So anyhow, many Muslims all over the world, many people before even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the time of Musa, during the time of Jesus, during the time of Abraham, Noah, many people have established worship to Allah. And this is a great benefit that has taken place due as a result of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. طيب. A. كالجهاد وغيره, and also struggling for the cause of Allah. وليظهر ما كمنا في غرائز بني آدم من الخير والشر بالامتحان. And for the instincts in the children of Adam to become exposed through goodness and through evil, or the goodness and the evil in us to become exposed as we get tested. And you know they say in Arabic, عند الامتحان يكرم المرء أو يهان. During testing, the person will either receive honor or he will be humiliated. You really don't know whether you're gonna go up or down except when you are tested. In an ultimate sense, in school, when you go through the final exam, either you're gonna pass or you're gonna repeat the class. And in personal relationships, when a person will test you, then he will realize that you're a fake friend, you betray him. You know what I'm saying? This is a moment of testing. So during these moments, the instincts of the children of Adam, from good and bad, they come out. And this is a benefit. وَلِيَتَبَيَّنَ عَدُوَهُ مِنْ وَلِيِّهِ, and for the enemy to become distinct from the friend. وَحِزْبِهِ مِنْ حَرْبِهِ, and the group of Allah from those who fight against him. وَلْيَظْهَرْ مَا كَمُنَ فِي نَفْسِ إِبْلِيسِ مِنَ الشَّرِّ الَّذِي انْطَوَى عَلَيْهِ, and for the evil that was in Iblis, Satan, to become exposed, you know, when he was commanded to prostrate to Adam. وَاتَّصَفَ بِهَذِهِ وَاتَّصَفَ بِهِ فَهَذِهِ حِكَمٌ عَظِيمًا يَكْفِي بَعْضُهَا فِي ذَلِكَ. These are all abundant benefits and wisdoms, and mentioning of them, some of them is sufficient and suffices for mentioning the rest. ثم لما كان قول الملائكة عليهم السلام فيه إشارة إلى فضلهم على الخليفة الذي يجعله الله في الأرض. So now notice when the angels, in the statement of the angels, peace be upon them, there was an indication that they are better than the creation that Allah will create. Al-Khalifa, you know, the one that will inhabit the earth. Notice, because they said, automatically, are you going to put in it, you know, that those who will spread corruption and shed the blood while we sanctify you and remember you, glorify your praise? So, yes.
How did the angels say this? It means the experience already that there's someone who came to them before that they shed blood.
No, there was no one before. This is before Adam was created. This is based on the assumption. We, every creation assumes. You may be right, you may be wrong. Okay? You do this, we do this all the time. Say, okay, I think that we're going to win today. Okay? You don't know. But you say, I think so. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think so. It's assumption. That's assumption.
No, the word here is,
are you going to
be? Will you place them in? Will you place them in those who will make mischief and shed blood?
Yes, that is.
It's happened already before?
No. They're saying, are you going to do that? Those who will do that. Are you going to create their end, those who will shed blood and those who will spread corruption? This is to happen in the future, based on the assumption of the angels. Assumption, not knowledge. Because if you read the context of the verses, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells them, did I not tell you that I know what you... And they said, Subhanaka la ilma lana inna ma 'allamtana. Glory be to you, there is no knowledge that we have except that which you taught us. So they declared their mistake and their assumption, or the fact that they did assume, as you read the context. The bottom line, Abdul Hadi, because you came late, and this is what happened, because the Shaykh did explain that. In reality, honestly, this is assumption on behalf of the angels. No one has lived there, and no one has shed blood, no one has killed anyone, in order for them to know that this is going to happen again. This was before the creation was created, before the humans, at least Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is assumption on their behalf, like we all assume. Tayyib, even the prophets used to assume. Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Kahf, when he met with Al-Khidr, he told him, you're not going to be able to be patient with me. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ عِلْمًا. How are you going to be patient with that which you have no knowledge about? قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. He said, you will find me, inshaAllah, patient. Was he patient?
Yes.
No, he wasn't.
That's why we want to qualify some of this verse.
Musa, the Shaykh, wasn't patient, alayhi salatu wasalam. He wound up departing with the brother. He told him, look, I told you, don't ask me nothing. Whatever you see me doing, don't say nothing until I tell you. He pulled the thing from the ship. He said, are you doing this to drown the people? He said, I told you that you're not going to be able to be patient. He said, I forgot. The first time he forgot. Then when he killed the boy, he said, you killed the boy without any innocently, you know, aggressively. He said, did I not tell you that you will not be able to be patient with me? He said, this is the last time. If I say one more thing, then you don't have to be my friend anymore. Then when he fixed the wall, he told him, why didn't you ask for money for it? He said, هَذَا فِرَاقٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. This is خَلَص. We're going to depart. Me and you have to separate. So was he patient? No. Patience of him, we're not belittling Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Messenger of Allah, Kareemullah, Allah spoke to him. We're not trying to speak. This is what Allah mentioned in the Quran. Had he been patient in the ultimate sense, then he would have stayed with him and never asked him anything. Until Khidr was the first to tell him that, you know, I did this because of that, and I did this because of that. But Musa was not able to be patient in this sense. That's why Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, may Allah pardon my brother Musa. Had he not said this at the end, we would have learned a lot more from what happened with Khidr. The idea is, Musa alayhi salatu salam, prior to the event, assumed that he will be patient. He said, Satajiduni, you will find me. Of course he gave the mashia to Allah, because you know nothing happens except to Allah. Satajiduni insha'Allah sabira wa la a'si laka amra. You will find me insha'Allah patient, and I will not disobey you in any command. But that did not materialize. It did not materialize. What am I trying to prove? That everyone assumes. Assumption is something that is valid. You may be right, you may be wrong. As long as your intention is not to claim that you know the unseen, then there is no harm. I can assume that A, B, C, D, okay? It is not me speaking about knowledge, well, this is going to happen in the future, like that. Then there is a problem, because I'm claiming to know the unseen. If it is merely assumption, then this has happened from the best of the creation of Allah, the Prophets and the Messengers. It happened with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also in Surah Al-Kahf. When he told them, come back to me tomorrow, when they came and asked him about Dhul-Qarnayn, and they asked him about the people in the cave, okay? He told them, come to me tomorrow. I will give you the answers. And Allah withheld revelation for almost 2 months. For 2 months the Prophet ﷺ did not receive revelation, and the people are telling him, you claim that you're a prophet from Allah, and we present to you these questions. You tell us to come tomorrow, and we don't have any answer from you. Until he became sad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed Surah Al-Kahf, refuting these disbelievers, and he told them, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلُ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. And do not say for anything, I will do this tomorrow. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except if Allah wills. You see? So this is something valid. These are the best of the creation. They assumed. They assumed, but they are not claiming knowledge of the unseen. So the angels, when they knew that Allah informed them that He's going to create Adam, they knew about how good they are. They knew Adam was of a separate creation. Okay, they knew they are the angels. The angels are known for these characteristics, that they never disobey Allah. When they realized that Adam was going to be from another nature, they assumed that He's going to do this on earth. Because it's not like them. If Allah told them, I'm going to create more angels, problem solved. They wouldn't think anything, because they know the angels are all alike. But when He was another form of creation, they assumed that He may do this on earth. As mere assumption.
Which one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created first? Man, angel, or jinn?
Angels.
Angels.
Yes.
And then
jinn. Well, Allah, the first thing Allah created was the pen.
I read some subject on this verse also, Shaykh Musa, but that's why we want to clarify in this verse, before the creation of the human kind and the angel was first, or the jinn was first, is there any indication that those jinns and angels before us did some wrong before the creation of mankind?
No, there's no such indication. And if there is, then it's upon the person to bring the evidence.
Right.
The course of the verses is that they did not disobey Allah. Even Iblis, Satan, he was worshipping Allah among the angels. He did not become exposed until he was commanded to prostrate to Adam. This is when he brought out what was inside of him. He said, خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ طَارٍ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You made me from fire, and you made him from clay. And he said, I will not prostrate to him, and he became arrogant. Prior to that, there was no indication of any disobedience.
Is that the story that goes around, that there was a war between jinns, and then Allah sent angels to go and fight them?
You have to verify the information, because many of these things are called Israeliyat, meaning the Israelites, stories, meaning things that are quoted from the Jews and the Christians, that we in Islam, that we need to verify authenticity. There may be something like that. It may be the case. If the hadith is authentic, khalas, we say that there was jinn who were fighting and Allah sent the angels in order to bring peace between them, possible. But either way, let's say this is the case, what is the connection between jinn and humans? But is it a tafsir of Ibn Kathir or something? Because we don't want you don't want to bring stuff from the back from back in the day. So
that's why it's not in the tafsir. Allah in the book said Allah Subhanahu wa Taala
yes.
made the jinn.
Okay.
Then they are the one who stay in the earth. Then they made the bloodshed and some corruption.
Okay.
Then Allah sent the angels to punish all the jinns that they destroyed in the water in the sea.
Okay.
So which one is the first step? The creation of Adam or the creation of this war?
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know this. Just because I don't know something, it doesn't mean it's not there. Okay, so I'm limited with whatever I've read. If I haven't read something, it doesn't mean that it's not right. So let's say you read this from a trustworthy source, and this is the case. So this may be the case, where there were jinn and angels were sent to take them away, what have you. Still, Adam came afterwards. Okay, in terms of sequence, because in Surah Al-Rahman, خلق الملائكة لا خلق الإنسان من خلق الجنة وخلق الجنة من مارج من نار خلق الإنسان من طين كالفخار وخلق الجنة من مارج من نار. Well, even the sequence doesn't support that. Anywho, I don't know. طيب, but I don't understand what we try to prove.
Because I'm here. So it means that the angel has already experienced.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That they have already experienced. They already experienced that when Allah created the jinns on the earth.
That they did something similar.
Bloodshed. So the angel will assume that maybe he Allah against the human, and they will make against bloodshed.
I see what you're saying. Well, this is a good interpretation. If this atar, if this evidence is authentic, yani if this tafsir is attributed to the scholars like the companions of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ibn Abbas, or someone where it is khalas concluded that it's authentic, then this may be a valid understanding. The Shaykh didn't mention it in the tafsir, no.
I think I read it in the story of the Prophets.
Qasas al-Anbiya.
The creation of the creation of
Ibn Kathir.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Still, even in tafsir Ibn Kathir, whether the Quran, his tafsir of the tafsir of Quran al-Azim, or in his book of Qasas al-Anbiya, or any of his other books, he is still not a scholar of hadith. You see, so there may be some narrations that are quoted that are not necessarily authentic. You with me? Any scholar of tafsir may, even in this one, the book that is revised, the Shaykh quotes some narrations and they have a comment in the bottom, this hadith is ba'ir. This hadith is weak. Cannot be attributed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if a person is even a scholar of hadith, he may not always get it right. So again, this tafsir of the jinn being existing and the angels being sent for them, what have you, if it is correctly attributed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as an authentic tafsir, then the Shaykh either does not support it, maybe he thinks the hadith is weak, or maybe he understood it in another context. So we really have to have now, we have a project, which is each one of us goes back to reliable tafsir. Okay? I have Ibn Kathir, for example, in Arabic. I'm going to go through it, because sometimes Arabic and English is not 100% identical. And each one of you goes back to the tafsir, and we try to find out what's up with this story. Good enough? So we can next week have something conclusive in terms of what is going on and whether this was the case or not. Because again, there are many things that are called Israeliyat. If you read the chapter of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, even in some of the famous tafsir, you will find there are hundreds of editions that are totally fabricated. They give the name of this person and that she fell in love with him and that he met her one time in the street and he told her, they called her Zulaikha, the wife of the Aziz. The wife of Aziz who liked Yusuf, they say her name is Zulaikha. They actually go to the bookstore, you buy a book called The Love Story of Yusuf and Zulaikha. All of it is based on fabricated narrations from the Israelis that could not be attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Shaykh and this tafsir said, it is sad that many of the tafsir are full with these statements that are unauthentic and have no basis. So he did not use them in his tafsir. So we have to be careful. Sometimes the information that we have, is the source of it is from the Jews and the Christians. If we don't have anything in Islam which is authenticated, then we hold back on it. We don't say it's a lie, but we don't say that this is the case either. You see what I'm saying? And you may find this in a tafsir. You may find this in a book. It doesn't mean that the whole book is authentic from the from cover to cover. You see what I'm saying?
Thank you.
We will, this is
Can you what recommend a version, English version for tafsir?
Ibn Kathir, yes, sir.
Ibn Kathir. Of course.
Of course. Yes, of course. It's in how many volumes?
Ten
volumes. Ten. Yes, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir is one of the best. But it doesn't mean that every single word he has there is authentic. He's a human being. No one is infallible. No one will not make a mistake. No one will get it right every time. This deen is vast. And Allah has put many men to carry on their shoulders the knowledge of this deen. It is not in one person. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he was not an angel walking upon earth giving fatwa, everything was right. Everyone made mistakes. But because they were scholars, Allah will reward them. Even if they made a mistake, Allah will give them the reward for their effort and for their niyyah. And Allah will pardon their error if they came up with the wrong judgment. You see? Because they were qualified though. So, this issue here, we need to go back to the tafsir and verify. What I will do is, I have a website called Dura. In this website, you put the words of the hadith and you put search, it will give you all of the narrations and the degree of the narration, whether it is authentic or unauthentic. So I'll go back to the tafsir, find the hadith that mentions the story of the angels and jinn, entering into this website and see what kind of results we come up with. If it turns out that this hadith is authentic, khalas, then the angels are basing it, the assumption on something that they have seen before. If this hadith is unauthentic, we cannot explain the Quran according to an unauthentic evidence. Then we go back to what the Shaykh said, that they were only assuming, without going into the details of the jinn or otherwise. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
This will be the safest thing to do, inshallah, because, of course, we don't know everything. I was, again, ya Abdul Hadi, I'm going by the tafsir within my hands. The Shaykh did not mention anything about anything else. He said, an exact wording, this is done from them. This is assumption from the angels. That they assume that this will happen. He did not elaborate. So I did not elaborate. Now when the angels, in their statement, there was an indication that they are favoring themselves over Adam, over the creation that Allah will create, because they said that the creation will do such and may do such and such. On the other hand, we glorify your name and we praise your, we glorify your praise and we sanctify you. So they were praising themselves. So Allah Azza wa Jal, أراد الله تعالى أن يبين لهم من فضل آدم ما يعرفون به فضله. Then فضله. Then Allah wanted to show them from the virtue of Adam. He wanted to show them the, some of the virtues of Adam in order for them to recognize his virtue. وكمال حكمة الله وعلمه. And the ultimate and the perfection of the knowledge of Allah and His wisdom. And His wisdom. فعلم آدم الأسماء كلها. So Allah taught Adam all of the names. The Shaykh said, أي أسماء الأشياء. Meaning the names of things. ومن هو مسمى بها. And that which carries that name. فعلمه الاسم والمسمى. So he taught him the actual name and the thing which carries the name. For example, Allah Azza wa Jalla taught him Asad, lion. Then he taught him that this is what carries the name, Asad. The word Asad and the animal which has that name belonging to him. You see what I'm saying? So he taught him the word door and the actual door. Being the thing that is called door. I hope this is clear. Ayy al-alfaz wal-ma'ani, meaning the terms and the meanings. What is intended by that? That Allah Azza wa Jalla taught Adam the terms and the definitions. Not only words, where he knows words, chair. You ask him, what is a chair? I don't know. You see? Allah Azza wa Jalla taught actual name of the thing and the thing itself. The meaning, chair, he knows what a chair is. Lion, he knows what a lion is. Okay, any other thing that Allah taught him, everything. He knew the thing and the definition of that word. The word and the definition of that word. حتى المكبر ومن الأسماء كالقصعة والمصغر كالقصيعة. Even in the Arabic word, there's a bigger form of the word and a smaller one. And this is just like you say, كتيب. كتيب is derived from the word كتاب. Kitab is in the ultimate Arabic, in the ultimate big sense. Kutayyib is a mini book. So in the Arabic language, whenever you change the word into this sound, or something yet like that, it becomes a mini one. Mini one. Kitab, Kutayyib. Ask Dr. Yahya, he will explain it better, inshallah. ثم عرضهم أي عرض المسميات على الملائكة امتحانا لهم هل يعرفونها أم لا فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين في قولكم وظنكم أنكم أفضل من هذه الخليفة. طيب. Then Allah presented these names to the angels as a test for them. Do they know them or not? To see whether they know them or not. So Allah said, inform me about the names of these things if you are indeed truthful. Meaning the Shaykh said, truthful regarding your statement and your assumption that you are better than Adam. That you are better than Adam. They said, قالوا سبحانك. They said, glory be to you. أي ننزهك عن الاعتراض منا عليك. We glorify you from us objecting to your command, which is what may have seemed to be in the beginning. وَمُخَالَفَةِ أَمْرِكَ or to disobey you, we will never to do that. We will never to object, neither are we ever to disobey you. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا بِوَجْهِ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ we have no knowledge in any shape or form إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا except that which you have taught us. إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا يَا فَضْلًا مِنْكَ وَجُودًا out of bounty from you and a favor. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ You are the all-knowing, the all-wise. العليم الذي أحاط علما بكل شيء. The Shaykh said, العليم meaning the one whose knowledge has encompassed everything. فَلَا يَغِيبُ عَنْهُ وَلَا يَعْزِبُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ So nothing misses, nothing can miss Allah. Not even the weight of a grain in the heavens or the earth. Nothing is unknown to Allah. ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر and nothing smaller than that or even bigger. والحكيم and the meaning of حكيم من له الحكمة التامة the one who possesses the ultimate wisdom التي لا يخرج عنها مخلوق that no creation is discluded from التي لا يخرج عنها مخلوق ولا يشد عنها مأمور فما خلق شيئا إلا لحكمة and there's nothing that has been commanded except that wisdom is there. So Allah does not command anything except with wisdom. Everything that Allah commands is with wisdom. والحكمة and wisdom means وضع الشيء في موضعه اللائق به. Wisdom means to put the thing in its proper place. If you want to know what wisdom means, حكمة, to put the thing in its right place. So if you have a puzzle and you have one missing piece, wisdom is that you get this piece and put it right there. And in dealing with people, wisdom is to say the right thing at the right time. Which we sometimes don't have, as you can tell. So to say the right thing at the right time, that is wisdom. وضع الشيء في موضعه اللائق به طيب. فأقروا واعترفوا بعلم الله وحكمته. So the angels acknowledged and they confessed the knowledge of Allah and His wisdom. وقصورهم عن معرفة أدنى شيء and how incapable they are of knowing the least, smallest of things. واعترافهم بفضل الله عليهم and their confession of the favor of Allah upon them. وتعليمه إياهم ما لا يعلمون and the fact that Allah taught them that which they did not know. فحينئذ قال الله then Allah عز وجل said يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم O Adam inform them about their names meaning أسماء أي أسماء المسميات التي عرضها الله على الملائكة فعجزوا عنها, meaning the same things that Allah presented to the angels to say, they said we don't know. So then Allah told Adam, tell them about the names of these things. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, so when Adam informed them of their names, informed the angels, تَبَيَّنَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ فَضْلُ آدَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ, the angels recognized the virtue that Adam has over them. وَحِكْمَةُ الْبَارِي وَعِلْمِي فِي اسْتِخْلَافِ هَذِي الْحَلِيفَ, and the wisdom of the Creator and His knowledge pertaining to those who will inhabit the earth and the purpose behind creating them. قال الله عز وجل ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض, did I not tell you that I know the unseen, I know the unseen of the heavens and the earth, وهو ما غاب عنا, and it's anything that we cannot see, Allah sees it and knows it, فلم نشاهده فإذا كان عالما بالغيب فالشهادة من باب أولى, so if Allah knows the unseen, then knowing the seen is even more so. If Allah knows the unseen, then the seen becomes even more obvious to be known to Allah. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ, and I know what you expose, وَمَا تَكْتُمُ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, that which you used to conceal and that which you are concealing. ثُمَّ أَمَرَهُمْ تَعَالَى بِالسُّجُودِ لِآدَمْ, then Allah commanded them to prostrate to Adam, إِكْرَامًا لَهُ وَتَعْظِيمًا, to honor him and to honor Adam, not to worship him. We have to understand this. The prostration here is not that of worship. Or someone will say, oh, Allah commanded the angels to worship other than Him. No. This sujood was only to honor Adam, and it's really honoring of the creation of Allah. So it's a sujood of honor, not of worship. And even the family of Yusuf alayhi salam, when they came to him, they prostrated to him. That was permissible during their time, and it wasn't understood to be an act of worship. You see? So anyways, it's another discussion. I don't want to confuse you already more than you're confused, because I'm confused now. طيب. وَبَادَرُوا كُلُّهُمْ, so all of them, وَعُبُودِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and as worship to Allah, as servitude to Allah. So Allah commanded them, they all obeyed Allah except إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى, except Satan, he refused. امْتَنَعَ عَنِ السُّجُودِ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ عَنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, he refused to prostrate and he became arrogant and he rejected the command of Allah. وَعَلَى آدَمْ فَقَالْ أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينًا, this is from another verse. Satan said, shall I prostrate to the one whom you created from clay, from dirt? وَهَذَا الْإِبَاءُ مِنْهُ وَالْاِسْتِكْبَارُ نَتِيجَةُ الْكُفْرِ الَّذِي هُوَ مُنْطَوِنْ عَلَيْهِ, and this arrogance of Iblis is an indication of what he had from the characteristics of disbelief. فَتَبَيَّنَتْ حِنَئِذٍ عَدَوَتُهُ لِلَّهِ, then at that moment his animosity and his enmity to Allah became exposed, and that to Adam, وَكُفْرِهِ وَاسْتِكْبَارِ, and his disbelief and his arrogance. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ مِنَ الْعِبَرِ وَالْآيَاتِ, and in these verses there are a number of benefits. Among them, إِثْبَاتُ الْكَلَامِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى, confirming speech attributed to Allah, that Allah speaks. وَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ مُتَكَلِّمًا يَقُولُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِمَا شَاءُ, that Allah still speaks. He says whatever He wills, and He speaks with whatever He wills. No one can deny that. Because the context here, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ, when your Lord said to the angels, and that only can be done through speech. So Allah Azza wa Jal speaks, and you know on the Day of Judgment Allah will speak to His creation, Allah will speak to the inhabitants of the fire and the inhabitants of Jannah. As for the fire, there will be the people of Jannah, they will be said, Salamun alaykum, Allah Azza wa Jal will send the peace upon them. As for the people of Jahannam, Allah will say to them, Ikhsa'u fiha wa la tukallimun, remain in it therein and do not speak to me. After they will try to ask Allah to take them out of the hellfire wal iyadu billah. So Allah speaks, and then Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. وفيه أن العبد إذا خفيت عليه حكمة الله في بعض المخلوقات والمأمورات فواجب عليه التسليم. He says, and also another wisdom is that if the servant, if it becomes unknown to him, the wisdom behind the existence of some of the creation or the wisdom behind some of the commands, then what is expected of him is to submit, surrender. If you know the wisdom behind the creation of such animal, or if you know the wisdom behind why Allah commanded us to, for example, pray, then alhamdulillah. But if you do not know, then what is compulsory upon you is to submit. You believe. If you know, Allah gave you enough brain. If you don't reject. If we don't understand, because someone else does know. Someone else can deduce the wisdom that we may not be able to deduce. You see? So, this is another wisdom. And you should accuse your own intellect. What you have, عقله. وَالْإِقْرَارُ لِلَّهِ بِالْحِكْمَةِ And to acknowledge the wisdom to Allah جل وعلا. And also among the benefits, وَفِيهِ اعْتِنَاءُ اللَّهُ بِشَأْنِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ The care that Allah had for the angels, وَإِحْسَانِهِ بِهِمْ And His goodness towards them, بِتَعْلِيمِهِمْ مَا جَاهِلُوا By teaching them that which they did not know. وَتَنْبِيهِمْ عَلَى مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُوهُ And when He notified them about that which they did not know about. وفيه فضيلة العلم من وجوه And also among the wisdoms in these few verses is the virtue of knowledge. Virtue of knowledge. From a number, more than one aspect. منها أن الله تعرف لملائكته بعلمه وحكمته That Allah became known to the angels through His knowledge and through His wisdom. ومنها أن الله عرفهم فضل آدم بالعلم وأنه أفضل صفة تكون في العبد That Allah Azza wa Jal showed the angels the virtue of Adam through knowledge. How did Adam become given virtue? How was he given virtue? Because he knew the names that the angels did not know. So, na'am. So this is among the benefits of knowledge and this is the best quality that the servant may have. The best quality that one of us may have is knowledge. Because this is what made Adam virtued in the sight of the angels. وَمِنَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَهُمْ بِالسُّجُودِ لِآدَمِ إِكْرَامًا لَهُ لَمَّا بَانَ فَضْلِ عِلْمِهِ That Allah commanded them to prostrate to Adam as means of honoring him after his knowledge became clear. After the virtue of his knowledge was produced out, was put out for them. When Allah asked them, then he knew that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam as means of honor, not as means of worship, as I've explained previously. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْإِمْتِحَانَ لِلْغَيْرِ إِذَا عَجِزُوا عَمَّا امْتُحِنُوا بِهِ ثُمَّ عَرَفَهُ صَاحِبِ الْفَضِيلَةِ فَهُوَ أَكْمَلُ مِمَّا عَرَفَهُ ابْتِدَاءً Among them, that when a person is being, when others are being tested and they are unable to get the answer for the examination, then a person who holds virtue knows the answer, then his knowledge is more perfect than those who knew it originally. وَمِنْهَا I hope you understood that. الْاعْتِبَارُ بِحَالِ أَبَوَيِّ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِّ وَبَيَانُ فَضْلِ آدَمٍ وإفضال الله عليه وعداوة إبليس له إلى غير ذلك من العبر And also for us to be mindful or to take reminders from the condition of our father Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام and in comparison with the jinn and you know the nature of the problem is not with the angels and the humans And it's not really with the angels and the shaitan. It is in the jinn. It is really between the humans and the jinn. Or the evil of the jinn. To be more specific, those who want to misguide the human beings from the straight path. This is where the actual problem is. So we need to be mindful of that. And we need to be mindful of the virtue of Adam. And what Allah Azza wa Jal had given him. And the animosity that Satan has towards him. And of course all of his children. And others... from among the benefits and the wisdoms that may be deduced from these few verses but the Shaykh only mentioned those then the verse 35 mentions about the Allah telling Adam to inhabit along with his wife Eve the garden, and then you know the verses continue, and we will continue that inshallah next week بإذن الله عز وجل. هذا وما كان من صواب في بتوفيق من الله وما كان من خطأ فمني ومن الشيطان والله جل وعلا بريء منه. Whatever I said that was accurate was success given to me by Allah. And whatever I said from mistakes, which is very possible, then it is from myself and Shaitan, and Allah is innocent from it. And I do not attribute any false or statements that I made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I declare my innocence thereof in your presence. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.